Hello everyone, my name is Adu and this is Expats Exposed, honest conversations with expats around the globe. This podcast is brought to you by ReadyGo Expat. For videos about life in different countries, interviews with expats and travel guides, go to youtube.com/ReadyGoExpat. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Expats Exposed podcast. How are you all doing? It's almost the end of 2021. I'm recording this on December 22nd. So a couple more days and the year is going to be over. The year or years, right? Because I think this year is still 2020 in a way. I'm just grateful for being alive, for being healthy, for my family and close friends as well. And I think that's what we should think about. We should be grateful about. But yeah, it's nearly the end of the year. I know there's been a gap between the last episode and this one. The reason for that gap is, you know, I moved to Colombia on October 3rd. So I've been here for nearly 3 months and I plan on staying here for longer. Don't know till when. That's actually a question that people have been asking, like, so what's your plan for next year? What are you going to do? So where are you going to go? Where are you going to travel? Guys, I think you shouldn't even ask this question because it's that kind of question that, like, unfortunately, we cannot say much now. There's still travel restrictions. And unfortunately, we cannot, you know, travel much. And still, if we are able to get to a different country, there's still restrictions there right now. As I'm recording this, I've just, you know, seen in the news that countries in Europe have been, like the Boris Johnson in the UK have told the people in the UK, like, not to, you know, make any big gatherings for Christmas and stuff like that for the second year in a row because there's the spread of the Omicron variant. And you know, I don't want to talk about this in this podcast because it's not about this, but yeah, unfortunately, we're still going through this. Hopefully it's going to be over soon. And in this podcast, in this episode, I wanted to talk about my first impressions of Colombia because I wasn't planning to come here. I was actually going to be in Portugal right now, you know, studying for my master's degree, but I canceled everything. I started 7 months ago. I started learning Spanish again with two teachers. I study online, and both teachers are from Colombia. One is from Medellin. One is from Bogota. And you know, I love Netflix shows. There's an episode here, a short episode of this podcast that talks about my favorite TV shows, TV series on Netflix in Spanish. And you've probably seen by now the end of La Casa de Papel, which is one of my favorites. Which in English is called Money Heist. So you've probably seen that already. But yeah, so I decided to move to Colombia. I decided to improve my Spanish. I was like tired of being in Brazil, to be very honest, almost 2 years in Brazil, and I was tired of that. So I came here and I am impressed. I'm not gonna say that I was not expecting much, but I didn't know much about the country apart from like some YouTube videos that I had watched. And you know, I read a bit, but I'm really impressed by the beauty and the culture and everything here in Colombia. So in this episode, I want to tell you a few of the things that I saw in these nearly 3 months. And yeah, and I also want to know what you think about Colombia. There are some stereotypes, you know, that we know and when we think about Colombia that comes to our mind. But yeah, here I'm going to tell you exactly what I saw and how my experience has been. The first thing is, I'm in Bogota right now. I've been to Medellin as well, but I'm based in Bogota. And wow, this city is huge, like huge. I wasn't expecting this. I've traveled like on the Transmilenio. I'm going to talk about it in a bit. It's the bus, BRT, bus rapid transit system. I traveled from like north to south and it's just huge. I found out that El Dorado International Airport, which is Bogota's airport, is the third busiest airport in Latin America. First one is the one in Mexico City. The second one is in São Paulo, Brazil. And this is the third busiest one. And not only the city is very big, but there's a lot of traffic jam around the city. And I'm not only talking about rush hour. If you want to, as I said, go to the north of the city to take a bus there from the terminal and travel like to another state or another city, then yeah, you need to cross kind of like the whole city. And when you get there, I took a taxi to go there, and it was just nightmare. So it's there's a lot of traffic jam. Like I had read about it, but when I came here, I was like, wow. So avoid taking taxis, Ubers. Try and just take the Transmilenio, which works really well. So Transmilenio, as I said, is a bus rapid transit system. They have their own lanes. So it really works well in the city, and it's cheap. I think it's around 2,300 pesos for a ticket, a one-way ticket, which is, I think, just about like a dollar or less than a dollar. Yeah, I think it's just like 75, 80 cents, I think. You can make the conversion rate there. And so, yeah, so the capital of Colombia is one of the few major cities and big cities in the world that doesn't have the subway system. But they're actually working on that right now. I don't know when it's going to be done, but they're working on that because Medellin has the metro. It's not underground, it's overground, but they have the metro there. And it also works really well. It's clean. It's really good. So, yeah, I look forward to, you know, seeing when it's going to be done and they're going to have the metro running here in the city because it will definitely help, you know, get around and everything. Another thing about Bogota is that it's usually very cold. And I didn't expect that from a South American city. They call it, I heard, the London from South America. And I was like, what, London? But yeah, because it's, I think, 2,500, 2,600 meters above sea level. So this makes the city, and it's surrounded by mountains, so this makes the city usually very cold, and which I personally enjoy, honestly. Like, different from from Bogota, Medellin is called the city of eternal spring, so it's always springtime there. I spent 2 weeks there, and yeah, I understood why they call it the city of eternal spring. But this is one thing that you gotta be aware when planning to travel to Colombia. They have all different kinds of weathers, different climates here. So if you're going to Cartagena, Santa Marta, which is the Caribbean coast, you know, as they call it, it's super hot there, humid. Also, it's really hot in the south, in Cali, but cities like Bogota is kind of cold. It's pretty cold. It can get pretty cold depending when you come. And you got to be aware of the rainy season. Like, I really don't know when it's the rainy season. I think it's now, between November, December, January, I think, but I'm not sure. But I spent 14 days in Medellin, and 7 of those 14 days basically just rained like heavily every single day. So you got to be aware of that as well. And when it comes to like nature, Colombia is just fascinating. I haven't seen much, to be very honest, but I went to a place called Laguna de Tota, which is in Boyacá. It's what, 2 hours and a half? No, actually, it's about 3 hours and a half, 4 hours by bus from Bogota. And it's this beautiful lake. You should Google it. Just put Tota, T-O-T-A, Laguna, or lake. And it's just massive lake, you know. And there, it's actually 3,000 meters above sea level. So I was freezing when I went there. But it is one of the most beautiful things I've seen. So apart from that, you got the Amazon forest in Colombia. And you've got all these different landscapes. So there's a lot to see, and there's a lot of nature around. That's one of the things I love about Colombia as well. And when you travel, make sure that you just don't only go to like these big cities. No, I mentioned some of them here, but just stop at pueblos. Pueblos are these small towns, you know, rich, you know, culturally rich, and with their, you know, sometimes typical art, cuisine, and people there are so welcoming. So I'm not going to say any specific name, but while I was traveling like to Tota, we stopped at some of these pueblos. I don't remember the names now. And it's just beautiful just to see, go to the main square, talk to people, and they're usually very welcoming. And it's really, really nice because you get more of a, you get to see Colombia without the busy, without the, you know, the cities and the influence of like, and it's nice because you get to see like a different part of Colombia, and it's, and some of these pueblos are kind of like well-kept secrets, you know, in the country. And it's never, from my experience, it's never packed with tourists or anything, like, you know, like you see in Medellin, for example. And when you go there, try the food. You know, everywhere you go, you should try the local fruit they have, the local dishes, the snacks, street food. That was a very big surprise for me. You know, I didn't know much about Colombian food. But just to give you an idea, any city you go, you pay between 8,000 to 16,000 pesos, Colombian pesos, for, it's something like a plat du jour or a executive menu, plato ejecutivo, something like that. And there are a lot of different options, and it's, they usually come with a slice of avocado, which is great, super healthy. They also come with some beans sometimes, but you'd get not only the main dish, but you get like juice and you get a soup as a starter. Just try any of the, you know, vegetable soup, and it's just, it's great. Like, I love these dishes because they're very affordable, and it's just the kind of food, like, you know, people, when they leave work, they go and eat and stop at these restaurants. Nothing fancy, and you get good quality food. Not everywhere, you know, you gotta, you know, just check two or three of these restaurants, and they usually have pictures and written what the menu is going to be on that day on the entrance. You go there, you check the price, and you just order it, and it's really, really good. I love that we get like good soup as a starter, and we get like a different fruit juice. One of the fruit juices that I tried here was actually for the first time actually in my life. It's called Lulo, L-U-L-O, I think. Lulo juice. It's not orange and it's not tangerine, but it's kind of like in between, I think. It's hard to explain, but it's good juice. There's a lot of different kinds of fruit and vegetables here, especially the fruit. It's so rich. And there is a car. There's a guy, you know, with a car yelling, aguacate, aguacate. You know, avocado, avocado, avocado on the streets. So avocado is something that you can buy literally anywhere. And people love adding avocado to their dishes. So, yeah, that's something that I was impressed, and it's really actually very, very good. What I didn't think was that cheap was food in the supermarket, you know. I was, you know, I lived in China for 5 years, and then I moved back to Brazil, and then now I'm here. And I'm comparing it, like, with Brazil, you know, and not the biggest city in Brazil, but my hometown, Recife. I'm comparing to, like, the food there in the supermarket. And it's kind of the same price, and some of the products are a bit more expensive, I would say. However, I'm not saying that it's expensive to, you know, go to the supermarket and buy your own food and cook at home. No, but I'm saying that I thought it would be a bit cheaper. So, anyway, like, I think it's... like, especially the meat. So if you are not a vegetarian or vegan and you like chicken, beef, pork, I thought that was a bit more expensive than I was expecting. However, you know, the basic products like the, you know, rice, beans, spaghetti and things like that, they're not that expensive. The beer as well is not that expensive. So, but yeah, but the food in general, especially the meat, I thought it was a bit expensive. And what is really expensive here is the Airbnb. And again, I'm not comparing it to Europe. I'm comparing it to, like, you know, other South American countries. You can get, okay, you can get good, you can get like a good Airbnb. You know, I'm talking here about a studio for one person, two people, or, you know, one bedroom apartment. So just to give you some numbers, for the first month here, I paid about, let me try to make the conversion here. It was six, yeah, about 500 US dollars, I think, for a one bedroom apartment. The area was nice, but it was not the nicest area. I was not saying the most expensive areas, which are, you know, Chapinero Alto, Usaquén, or the north, like Chico, Cedritos. These are like, and also parts of Suba, which is mainly in the north. These are the most expensive areas. I was not staying there, you know. I was near Chapinero because Chapinero is huge. It's a trendy, you know, neighborhood. But I was not in Chapinero itself, Chapinero Alto or anything. And I thought it was too much. But that's the thing, you know. Of course, you know that Airbnb is more expensive because you got all utilities included and, you know, furnished, etc., ready to move in. I liked it. I really liked it. And the landlady was also super nice, you know. But yeah, I just think that you should really try to do your research before you come. You know, simulate some of the prices and the areas you're going to stay. It's really important to read the reviews because, you know, sometimes two blocks will make a big difference. It will mean that you're not in a very safe neighborhood, but you're going to be perhaps in a not very safe area, and you don't want that, especially when you come here for the first time. So make sure you read the reviews and check out like what people wrote, and because it's that's really important. Okay, I also love their Spanish here, and when I say their Spanish, I mean the Colombian accent. And when I say Colombian accent, I know that they have the accent in Bogota, a different accent, the Paisa accent in Medellin, and in other parts of the town, like the accent on the coast as well, which is different. But what I'm saying is that I haven't had a lot of problems communicating with them. As I said, I started studying Spanish 4 months before I came here. I knew a bit of Spanish. I'm a native Portuguese speaker, which makes it easier for me to learn Spanish. If you don't speak Spanish, then I don't know, because that's not my case. But if you can speak like I do, intermediate, you know, good intermediate Spanish, people are very lovely. They're gonna, you know, they like to talk, they like to like make friends and know more about you, and they want to make you feel at home. And I'm talking about random people that I met on the streets, at shops, and I'm also talking about the friends that I have made here. They're all super nice, like all of them, honestly, all of them. I'm super happy with that. And I'm also happy with my progress in Spanish, because it's great that they can understand most of the things I say. It's great that I can understand perhaps 80% of the things they say. And I've been practicing a lot, you know, just meeting people and practicing a lot and going out and buying my own things on my own. So it's great. And when you come here, one of the things I suggest for you to do, as soon as you come, like on the first or second day, go on a free walking tour. You know, I did that in Vietnam as well when I was there in Hanoi. Because free walking tours, especially if you're traveling on your own, they're great because not only you're able to meet like other foreigners who are in the city as well, and it's not expensive because, you know, they're based on, you know, they work on like based on tips. So you just tip them at the end. I paid around $10, you know, the equivalent of $10 when I was on my $10-$12 when I was on my walking tour. And you learn a lot about the country's history. You know, it's about 3 hours walking in this historic center here called La Candelaria in Bogota. I also did that in Medellin, and I walked there in the historic center, and you learn a lot about it. And guys, I don't know how much you know about Colombia. I don't know how much you know about Colombian history, but apart from like what the show you might have watched on Netflix about the recent Colombian history, there's a lot. Like there's a lot, and this country has been through a lot. When I say a lot, I mean especially like conflicts, you know, civil wars, wars with, you know, foreign enemies, and also their problems with the narcos, the paramilitares, the police, the you know, politics and the you know, leaders who have died, and it's a lot. Like, and I was just really shocked when I heard about their recent history. And not only that, but I'm really impressed how they were able to, you know, kind of change the game and, you know, become this country. I think it's amazing. I'm not going to go deeper into politics, but the current president is quite controversial. And elections for to choose the next president are going to happen in 2022, I think around May and June, okay? So just so you know. So it's not like this is the most, I don't know, stable country, you know, their politics and stuff in the world. But still, to see where they were and where they are now, it's just amazing. Especially, you know, being from South America as well, I know the problems we have here. And yeah. One of the things you probably have heard about Colombia is their coffee, of course. They love coffee. Yeah, you can get like super cheap coffee for like a couple of cents in the streets called tinto. It's just black coffee. Sometimes comes with sugar, sometimes without sugar. But you can also go to the fancy cafes. Don't go to Starbucks, you know, because you're in Colombia. Go to Juan Valdez Cafe. This is my favorite. It's like super nice cafe. You can work from there. You can just, you know, stay there as much as you want. There are many, many Juan Valdez cafes spread around the country. Also, another cafe that I really like is called OMA, O-M-A. And yeah, it's also really, really good. The snacks are delicious. The cakes, the pies, everything. And there is another cafe. It's kind of like a mixture of like a cafe and a bakery called Tostado. It's spelled T-O-S-T-A-O, Tostado. And you can see them all over the city. It's super affordable. And it's great to just go there, you know, grab a coffee, grab a snack and walk and go to work. That's what people do here a lot. But I also like it. That's the more affordable option if you want. They love coffee. It's true. And their coffee is great. Of course, don't buy the cheapest ones in the supermarket because it won't be that good. But if you, you know, pay a bit more, you'll see that the quality of Colombian coffee is just crazy. It's really, really good. And one of the downsides, I'd say, not the downsides, but one of the negative first impressions that I had is, unfortunately, even though I come from Brazil and I've seen some of the, you know, immigrants from Venezuela in Brazil, and we've, you know, accepted, you know, the country has accepted them and has been working like to, you know, help them and stuff. Colombia has received a lot of immigrants in the past years from Venezuela. And that's good. You know, at the same time, it's very sad because you can see that, you know, they're trying to survive here. And some of them are like, you know, asking for money, trying to sell, you know, sweets or something, or just opening their stalls in the streets and trying to sell their food. They're trying to make a living here and everything. But what I'm going to say now that I thought was kind of negative is actually the fact that when I was like many times when I'm like on an Uber or, you know, just talking to like locals, many of them blame, you know, the recent unsafety or of the city, they blame on the Venezuelans. And it's, yeah, it's just not something that you would like to hear. It's not something that I even have an answer or there's nothing I can reply to that. First of all, because I'm not here. I'm not from here. Second of all, I've just arrived. So I listen to that. And I just say, and that's it, you know? But it's something, I'm not saying everyone says that, but I've seen that more, you know, than usual, like people coming to me and telling me that, especially here in Bogota. But yeah, it's just something that we should think about, you know, this humanitarian crisis that we have, not only in South America, of course, but in so many countries in the world, recently in Afghanistan as well. And it's just something so sad, you know. I think that there should be a lot more, you know, policies to help, you know, these immigrants who decide to leave their country because it's perhaps the only option they have. And yeah, I've seen a lot of that here as well. Also, if you think of Latin America, you think of like warm people, good food, fresh fruit. You got all of that here in Colombia. That's a stereotype that I would tell you, yes, that's right. They are like that. They're super happy. They love their reggaeton. They love their salsa. They love to dance. They love to party. They love to drink. That's all true. And I feel like I'm kind of old for that, but I've been out a few times. Oh, by the way, here in Bogota, that's just a fun fact. They have the largest club in Latin America, if I'm not mistaken, the largest nightclub in Latin America. It's called Teatrón, which means big theater. I've been there twice. It's more for the gay community, the LGBT community, but both times I was there, I met a lot of straight couples and straight, you know, people who just went there because it is the best club. Like, let's face it, there are 14 different rooms, you know, so you can go to a place and just listen to reggaeton the whole night. You can go to another place and just listen to pop music, or go to this place and listen to rock music the whole night. So it's massive. It's in Chapinero, which is, as I said, it's very centrally located. And some days I was there, I just paid 20,000 pesos to get in. Other days I had to pay 45,000, but then I got two drinks with that. So that's definitely somewhere you gotta go. And the last thing I want to say is that I've heard some comments, you know, before I was coming to Colombia, when I told some of my friends, I've heard comments since I got here. And most comments are like friends who are really curious about the country. But unfortunately, there's still that stereotype of that Colombia is dangerous, you know, the, you know, drug trafficking and stuff like that. I would say that I feel safer here in Colombia than I feel in Brazil. Of course, I'm aware of like things. I'm not going to walk at midnight, you know, just anywhere. I'm not going to be like, you know, using my phone in a very busy area. Or in the center, in the downtown area, I'm not going to be with my phone everywhere, you know. So you just got to be careful, just like in any big city. But I would say, watch videos on YouTube. There are some really good videos there. Read blogs about being in Colombia, visiting Colombia. And I would just say, give it a try and come. Because I was expecting, you know, something, of course, because, you know, I had friends who came here and were telling me, but it's much better than I was expecting, to be very honest. For that reason, I with my Brazilian passport, I can come here and stay for 3 months and I don't need a visa. That time is going to expire now on January 1st. And this week, I've just applied for a visa, for an extension, a 3-month extension. Then after that, I either leave the country or I apply for a residence visa. What am I going to do? I don't know. You're going to know if you follow me here on the podcast or if you follow my YouTube channel. I'm going to be creating content about Colombia. I got some really nice videos and some interesting things that I've seen here, and I'm still producing them right now. So yeah, that was it. I hope you like this episode. I'm not going to say it's the last of 2021 because I really want to upload an episode on the last day of the year with some hopes and expectations for 2022. That's my plan. Hopefully you're going to see this episode here in 7 days. And yeah, thanks you all for listening. Let me know if you have any other questions about Colombia, if you want me to talk more about Colombia, maybe Medellin as well, more than Bogota. Please let me know. And subscribe to this podcast if you haven't yet. And if you can, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or somewhere else and you can leave a rating for the podcast, please do. Okay? It will help a lot. Thank you all for listening. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. For videos about life in different countries, interviews with expats and travel guides, go to youtube.com/ReadyGoExpat.